it's nothing but talk, talk, talk. There is no substance to it. It is a bunch of hot air. There is no temple in the offing. There is nothing. There are no plans. There is nothing in the offing. Okay? So that's just a rumor. It's just a rumor.
He said he wished Nick was here.
Well, I was kind of hoping he would. I was looking forward to I was ready for a battle. I was ready to go into roll into battle. But anyhow, you know, we'll go over this. He'll get his shot. I'll make sure he gets his shot.
He'll appreciate it.
I'll go with him.
All right, brother. I needed to grab some folks and get them drawn in. I want to draw you in. If I got you drawn in, let's go.
Too many things, too many times. That's what it always says.
One of the pillars we've been studying and talking about is pillar number 5, to be precise, the third temple built. The name might give you a clue as to how many there have been, not necessarily to how many there will be, but how many have there been already?
Was that 2?
There have been 2.
I would say 2.
If we're talking about a third one coming up, then that must mean that we've had 2. Well, what would they be?
Temples? How many temples?
How many
have we
temples?
Had?
That's not the tabernacle in the wilderness. We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
And I have to stop and think about that.
And
Herod's.
Okay, Herod.
That's Solomon's. That we'll yeah. You can call it Herod's temple, or you can call it Zerubbabel's temple.
Zerubbabel. Why do I always get that mean?
It's the same. It's the same thing. The same temple. Zerubbabel came back with Herod, some of the earliest returnees that came back from exile. Under the direction of Haggai and Zechariah and perhaps Malachi, they rebuilt the temple. And eventually, when Herod came along, he refurbished the temple. As a matter of fact, he did not want to be accused of destroying the temple. So what Herod did was, he would take down one stone or a couple of stones from the temple and replace it with one of his stones, and he would, so that nobody could look at it and say, "I'm tearing down the temple." But by the time that Herod got through, it didn't look much like what Zerubbabel had built, but it's still considered to be a second temple. So there weren't 3. There was Solomon's temple, which was completely destroyed in 586 or 587 by Nebuchadnezzar. And then Zerubbabel and the prophets rebuilt the temple after the 70 years of captivity. And that stood until Titus destroyed it in 70 AD. So that's in a nutshell where we're going. Now, there's going to be another temple. Daniel 9:26 says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood." All right, so it says, "They shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." So that means there must be one for it to be destroyed. That's Daniel 9:26. You can't destroy something that doesn't exist. Yes, brother?
It says there after that the end there shall be with a flood.
That's right. It's a flood of armies, men and material.
Okay,
it's not water.
I was going back.
It ain't water.
It said that they would never destroy the earth.
It's not water.
Water. Okay.
No, that's the idea of an army being described as a flood is used various times in Isaiah and Daniel, and also in Zechariah and Zechariah Revelation, where in chapter 12 it says that the devil cast out a flood out of his mouth to try to drown the woman as she fled in the wilderness, but the earth held the woman and swallowed the flood, and so on and so forth. We're not talking about water. Okay. That's an army. It's an army, okay? Now this happens during the last week of Daniel's 70 weeks. Are we in that week yet?
No.
55 days.
Is there a temple here to destroy? What?
55 days into it.
We're 55 days, but we're not in it right now. Okay. The clock is stopped. We're off the clock.
Yeah, we're not in it.
So we're not operating in it.
Yes, that's right.
We don't want to be any confusion on that.
Yeah.
All right.
Trying to help you here.
Okay. So, is there a temple yet to be destroyed? There is no temple right now. Now, of course, we've talked about, you know, we've talked in here, and I'm always quick to point out all of the problems that the Jewish people are going to encounter if and when they ever decide to rebuild a temple, like, for instance, the Dome of the Rock sitting in the place where the temple is supposed to go. And Jews are not even allowed to pray on the Temple Mount, much less tear down the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque and build their temple there. I mean, it would cost, you know, I mean, World War IV, V, and VI if that happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, and besides, you know, we talked about they can't get there's no way to start the priesthood without the ashes of the red heifer. You can't have the ashes of the red heifer without a consecrated priest to handle the ashes, and so on and so forth, and all of this, that, and I'm going to tell you tonight that there are problems that are even greater than that. That's nothing compared to what I'm going to tell you about. And here's where it's coming from. I'm going to read to you out of a commentary. This is a commentary on the book of Ezekiel the prophet. Does anybody want to hazard a guess who that might be in English?
Ezekiel,
praise the Lord, amen. This is a Jewish commentary. It's the Art Scroll series, the Art Scroll Tanakh series. It's the book of Ezekiel. It's the text, a translation and commentary from all the Jewish sources, bringing together all the ancient Jewish sources on the book of Ezekiel. It is absolutely marvelous. It is wonderful.
You like that book?
I love this book. I'm going to read to you from this book, and you will see the monumental problems that are confronting anybody who thinks about building the temple. It's like nothing you've ever thought of before. I can assure you that.
Is it in Hebrew?
Well, I'm going to read to you. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read to you in part Hebrew and part English. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to read it to you raw.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to you raw first.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go back and give it to you cooked.
Okay. Okay.
So it'll make a little more sense. But you need to hear it raw.
Amen.
I want you to hear it raw.
All right.
She's going to get a brand new page started.
All right. Well, we'll get there in a minute.
Uh-oh. Okay.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, that's the day of Christ, the second coming, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, now, this hasn't happened yet. And this is somehow or other in connection with the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, which also has not happened yet. But there has to be a temple for him to sit in. Right. This is the Antichrist, and there has to be a temple for him to sit in. Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard folks say, well, you know, maybe that doesn't mean that there's got to be a literal temple. That could be, you know, that could be some false preacher standing in behind the pulpit preaching heresy and false doctrine and all kinds of things. And I'll tell you this, that is an abomination of desolation, all right, but it's not the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now, only when it comes to fulfillment of Scripture, only one Scripture, only one event will do. Only one will do. Scripture is not that easily fulfilled. It's not that easy to fulfill Scripture. And so when it happens, it'll happen, and that'll do it. But it hasn't happened, and you need faith to believe that what God says is going to happen, regardless of how much it blows your mind to think about, it's going to happen. When he says there's going to be a temple there, it blows my mind, but I've got to believe that he means what he says, and it really means it's going to happen. When it says that Jesus is going to sit here on earth and rule and reign physically on the earth for 1,000 years, people have gone off the deep end and said, well, you know, that can't be literal. Yes, it can be literal.
Yes, it can.
You've got to believe.
Yes.
You've got to have faith to believe in the Word of God.
Yes. Amen.
The Word does not need to be defended.
That's right.
The Word does not need defense. The Word is a weapon.
That's right.
You don't defend a weapon, you use a weapon. The Word doesn't need your help. You need the Word's
Amen.
Help.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
All right. Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 to 2. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So there's another temple scripture where it says there is going to be a temple. All right. Now, so you got three good solid witnesses that says there's going to be a literal temple. Mm-hmm. You can't measure something that doesn't exist. You can't sit in something that doesn't exist. And you cannot destroy something that never existed and doesn't exist. And so there it is. You've got to have a temple. There's going to be a temple. I don't understand it. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work out. But the Bible says it's going to be a temple. It's going to be a temple. Mm-hmm. I may not see it. We may. I don't expect to see it. I expect to be gone.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. But it's going to happen. All right. So we said, how many temples have there been? There have been two already. How many will there be? That's a better question. Now, there is a fundamental disagreement among Jews and Christians. Let me put it this way. There's a fundamental disagreement among Christians who understand the end times and Jews about how many temples there will eventually be. The Jews disagree with you, Brother Shane. Now, you said there are going to be two. And the Jews say, no, only one.
They don't think it's going to be destroyed?
No. No.
How would that prophecy about the no stone left?
They think it's already been done.
They think that's already been done.
They think it's already happened.
They think that's already a done deal. Mm. Now, so this is very important now, because when you think about the Jews going about rebuilding a temple, they're not planning on building a temple that's going to be torn down right away. They're talking about building a temple that Ezekiel described that will stand for 1,000 years. Mm. Okay? So there's a fundamental disagreement, because they don't expect that, you know, that the Antichrist is going to come and destroy their temple.
With all the money they got.
Now,
they get back by 100%.
The Jews are only expecting to see one more temple, while the Christians who understand the end times look for two. Now, I may be getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but where you look for that third temple, or the fourth temple, our fourth temple, the Jews. Yeah, the Jews only see three, we see four, so our fourth temple is in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 43. Ezekiel chapters 40 through 43. Give detailed descriptions and specifications of a temple standing in Jerusalem that Ezekiel watched being measured out as somebody measured the temple. And he saw it. He saw the glory of God returning to the temple and so on and so forth. That's what the Jews think is going to happen. Now, Christians expect the Jews to build a third temple which will be desecrated by the abomination of desolation and ultimately destroyed by Antichrist. There must be a literal temple because 2 Thessalonians says the Antichrist will sit in it, and John the Revelator was told to measure. But then after Jesus returns, there will be a glorious millennial temple which is described in the book of Ezekiel. That's the last temple. That will be the last temple. That one will not be destroyed as long as the earth stands. And then, as Brother Shane pointed out, when we go into eternity, there will be no temple at all. Because God himself and the Lamb are the temple. All right. The Jews, however, that the next temple will be Ezekiel's temple. They believe that Ezekiel's temple will be the next. This is where the problem comes in. This is where it gets complicated. Our discussions in this class have already touched on some of the serious impediments that confront the Jews in their rebuilding of the next, that is, the third temple. Now, here's something that I didn't realize until I was studying this for these lessons. But God gave David written instructions for the building of Solomon's temple, that is, the first temple. 1 Chronicles 28, verses 11, 12, and 19. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about and of the treasuries and of the house of God and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern. So God gave David written instructions.
That was in 1 Chronicles?
1 Chronicles, yes. 28, yes, Chronicles. Verses 11, 12, and 19. God gave, and I don't know how this all happened, but God gave David written instructions right off the throne of God.
That's very amazing.
Written instructions. Not oral directions, but written. He gave him a written pattern. So do it this way. Now, Solomon's temple was destroyed in 586 BC. Many years later, Zerubbabel oversaw the rebuilding of the second temple. Yeah. Now, this was difficult. We got into trouble. Zerubbabel had problems. Now here's where I'm going to read to you now. So get your seat belts on. Get your seat belts on. Everybody get sat down. Get a good solid hold on something. this is going to be an experience. And try to keep up. And before I start to read this, I want to call your attention to a couple of words up here. Rashi and Rambam. Has anybody ever heard of Rashi? How about Rambam? You've heard of Rashi.
Oh, yeah.
Joanne doesn't count because I talk to her about these all the time. Yeah. Rashi and Rambam. No. That's something totally different. Dear, dear Gentiles.
Rabbis are called Rashi.
Rashi
is an
acronym. It stands for Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchak. He was born in 1040 AD and died in 1105. Rambam was born just about that same time. That stands for Rabbi Moshe Ben Maimon. Two of the greatest Hebrew scholars since biblical times. They were medieval rabbis.
Do they only go by Rashi and Rambam? They don't go by Rabbi, Rashi, Rabbi?
That's what they call them, Rashi and Rambam.
Okay, they don't use Rabbi in front
of them.
They don't,
okay. No. They call them Rashi and Rambam.
Okay.
They are scholars of the highest magnitude, Hebrew scholars of the highest magnitude. And what we're going to, they quote from them in here. And they refer to them various times, so when their names come up, that's what we're talking about, okay? All right, so fasten your seat belts. Here we go. Preparatory remarks to Ezekiel chapter 40, verses 1 through chapter 43, verse 17. All right, here we go. As the focus of the New Jerusalem, that's not the Revelation New Jerusalem, but that is the New Jerusalem after the redemption of Israel, okay? The Beis HaMikdash, which is the Holy Temple, is the first institution towards which Ezekiel directs his vision. The new city is to be called Jehovah Shammah, which is the Lord is there, 48 and 35. The locus of the Shekinah, the resting of the divine presence implied in this name, is the base Hamikdash, that is the temple. God wills that there be a new Jerusalem only because he wills that there be a place of welcome for the divine presence. Because of this centrality to the divine plan, it is logical that the temple should be the very first of the institutions discussed. In loving detail, the new building and the altar which will stand within it are passed before the prophet's eye. God's love for these institutions is underscored by the great care which the Torah lavished upon the description of the tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple. The same degree of repetition is used in the description of Solomon's temple. This temple is to become the throne and the footstool for the divine presence. And in contrast to the two previous temples which became defiled and subsequently destroyed through Israel's sins, this one is to stand inviolate. God is to dwell in it, never to depart. While the basic components of this temple are to be essentially similar to those of the previous ones, there are nevertheless to be significant differences in the details of the design. We will try to explore the implications of these changes in the light of the history and halakha of the temple. The halakha is the legal description of the legalistics of it. The fact that Ezekiel's temple is to be different from the previous ones poses a legalistic problem. Based on 1 Chronicles 28 and 19, the sages have a tradition that the general design and dimension of the original temple were given to King David in writing. These written instructions are considered by the Talmud to be binding. No leeway was left for any changes. Nevertheless, the second temple was significantly different from the one built by Solomon, and Ezekiel's temple is to be different from both of them. What halakhic justifications exist for these changes? Solomon's temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. When under Cyrus, the Jews returned from the Babylonian exile and set about begin building a new temple, they found themselves in a quandary. Say quandary.
Quandary.
Ezekiel's prophecies had already been received, but the specifications contained in them were not clear or explicit, not enough to be to serve as a pattern to rebuild. They were therefore unable to build the temple according to Ezekiel's directions. Instead, they built it according to the plans of Solomon's temple, but included some modifications based on the book of Ezekiel, according to Rambam. Tosafos Yom Tov suggests the following explanation for this phenomenon. The true interpretation of Ezekiel's directions was withheld from the returning exiles, because it is a design which is meant only for the ultimate temple, which is never to be destroyed. The second temple from the, now this is important, the second temple from the very beginning was destined to fall, and therefore could not be built according to these specifications. Tosafos Yom Tov, which is a book written by a man named Yom Tov, explains this in light of a midrash quoted by Rashi. According to this midrash, Ezekiel's temple could indeed have been built by the returning exiles, if they had deserved it. Had the Babylonian community really risen to the challenge of exile, had they wiped out their sinful past with true repentance, their return to Zion could have ushered in the Messianic era. However, they fell short of the ideal and the opportunity was lost. The temple which they were allowed to build had to be the one which was not yet perfect. It was not to last forever. Nevertheless, they incorporated some details from Ezekiel's design to remind themselves of what might have been. The future temple will be similar to the second temple, which already contained elements of Ezekiel's temple, but will, in accordance with its status as a permanent, indestructible abode, For the divine presence contain other changes which are indicated in the book of Ezekiel, but have remained hidden from previous generations. When the time comes, God will grant us the insight required to understand the prophecy in all its details. The study of Ezekiel's vision of the temple is difficult. Volumes have been written in an attempt to fathom its complexities. Our commentary is based on Rashi, as his opinion is explicated by Tosafos Yom Tov. Our efforts to understand that will tax our facilities and our faculties to the utmost. This commentary implies that this, you need to get this, listen carefully. The commentary implies that this third and final temple will be a structure built by human hands in accordance with Rambam in his commentary to the Mishnah. This is in complete agreement with Rambam's opinion in various other books and works that he is responsible for. However, Rashi in Sukkah 41a, Rosh Hashanah 30a, and Tosafos Shavuos 14b writes that the temple will be made of fire and descend miraculously from heaven already built. According to this opinion, it would seem that directions contained in the book of Ezekiel will never concern us directly, since the temple will not be built by human hands. This opinion would imply that the Torah's command to build a temple will never again have a practical application. However, there is no indication anywhere that this command will not be binding in the future. Maharal Diskin, quoted in Siddur HaGra, suggests a solution. The building which will descend from heaven will have certain indispensable parts missing. Let me read that again. The building which will descend from heaven will have certain indispensable parts missing. It will be our obligation to add these components, and this will be our way of fulfilling the command to build the temple. This theory explains the seeming redundancy in our Yom Tov prayers, where we say, grant that we may see it in its rebuilding and rejoice in its perfecting.